is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
I could hardly not be in the mood to talk to you all today. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. Happy, passionate, and more dedicated to freedom and liberty and personal responsibility than ever. I've never not been. This is Holy Week. This is Passover. This is the greatest Jewish holiday for freedom. The very first commandment is God took you out of the house of Egypt and out of the land of bondage. I probably screwed that up. But it's all about freedom. And here we are in the year 2020. Sort of reminds me of that old song in the 60s or 70s. In the year 2525. Now, here we are. You know, nothing under the sun ever changes. The same tyranny and the same men who think they're God try to force their will upon the masses. I have never been for broad brush, one size fits all solutions to problems that need to be addressed uniquely. And what that does ideologically is put us all in the same collectivist boat. So here we are, we're individuals. It's what I've been dedicated to. I'm only fresh in my mind about this because someone was asking me about my biography this week. And I was saying, you know, if I've done anything, it has been to try to encourage people to find their own way in life, to find the talents that God gave them and to apply those to a greater purpose. At least that's what I try to do. I probably don't always succeed, but that's why I felt so incredibly grateful for the opportunities that I've had in recent years, because not only do I get to apply whatever gifts God gave me, but I get to apply them to something that I care so much about. So hopefully it keeps you humble, but it also keeps you purposeful about what you're here to do. It took me years to find that. I was well past 55 when I did, not well past, but a little bit past 55. And then all of a sudden things became clear that everything I had ever done in my life was dedicated to the same kinds of principles and applying the same, talents and gifts that I guess I was born with. Nevertheless, we all have those and they're not the same. Thank God. Thank God, we're not all extroverts, for example. And yet, the collectivist socialists have lumped us all into the stereotypical bigoted soup in which they are God in their own universe, and they want to be God in ours, too. Now, I know I've said that a bunch of times, but sometimes you got to speak in sound bites so people will appreciate the enormity of the problem. So I was jazzed this week because I got to write a piece. I thought of the title well before I wrote the piece, And I really did pour my heart and soul into this piece, and luckily a lot of places are carrying it, including the Western Journal, who carried it first, and then others are picking it up. It's called Tyranny is the Deadliest Virus, and I encourage you to read it. It means a lot to me only because it is very disturbing that so many of our fellow Americans don't seem to understand liberty. Either they've been de-edumacated through government education, they've been indoctrinated into the ways of socialism and utopianism and all those kinds of things, but also in the same vein, with the same goal, they were never taught the greatness of America because the people indoctrinating them didn't want them to know the greatness of America. In fact, the people indoctrinating them wanted them to think that America, and to a lesser extent Israel, is the problem in the world. America is the reason that we can't have everybody having a chicken in every pot because of greedy, horrible, evil, racist, bigoted America. And nothing could be further from the truth. We are less like that than ever. But you have to demonize your enemies in order to take over. And that's what we've been seeing on a basis writ large that I have never seen in my lifetime. I mean, honestly, have you ever seen anything like this? An entire country shut down, pretty much. I think there's like 8 states that have not been shut down. I haven't looked recently, but for all intents and purposes, the country has been shut down, 320 million people, because of a virus that is proving to be, yes, deadly to certain populations, maybe even mine, but not all that much more deadly in terms of morbidity rate. So far, not even as deadly as the flu. And you know what? When 80,000 people, I know it's been said before, but it has to be said again and again because people are being bullied into not saying it. When 80,000 people died in the 18-19 flu season, did anybody spend $6 trillion and tell the entire country to go out of business and to sit home for 6 weeks to 2 months or longer? No. Was it an election year last year or in 18-19? No. It was not. And we are seeing that the people that are holding us to ridiculous, preposterous standards cannot even get their numbers right. And yet, are we opening up again? No, we're not. We're not opening up again because it is to the benefit of the left to continue to put us all in handcuffs and under house arrest. From now on, I want to encourage you, don't call it we're all in quarantine, because by definition, being in quarantine means that you are infected and you are being told to stay home, not to infect other people. No, what the crazy upside down left does, and what an awful lot of people with suspicious biases, including Dr. Fauci, what they're doing is telling able-bodied, law-abiding, healthy people to stay in their homes. When in this country have we ever done that? And guess what? Even a lot of Republicans have been hesitant to talk about the very thing that they supposedly believe in so much: liberty, freedom, personal responsibility, and yes, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. No, I'm not wrapping myself up in the flag. I love that flag, as does our president. And these people that are here to attack us from within, that have been standing for everything that will make America suffer and eventually die, are the same people that are trying to keep us shut down, that are fear-mongering, keeping us, refuse to acknowledge any good news. And it's taken a lot of people a while to watch the pattern of behavior because they do have a good heart and they don't want to see people die. But when 92-year-olds die and they claim that it is from complications of coronavirus, you know, you got to be not only a little suspicious, but you've got to have your feet planted firmly on the ground and recognize that just like utopianism is a lie, so is living forever. And the people that are the most scared of their own mortality tend to be those that don't believe in God, don't believe that they answer to a higher authority. But since this isn't a religious show, actually, it's not true. We have everything under the sun. Everything is grist for our mill, because today, so much is related to so much else. And everyone is on their own journey as to what they perceive God to be. But I'll tell you one thing. My politics has done more to help me appreciate that I sure am glad that human beings aren't God. In fact, I have a little story about that. I think I'll just tell you a little story. When I came back to my hometown of Denver, Colorado, more than 20 years ago, after having lived in New York and LA and other places, dabbling in all kinds of professions, just because I was fascinated by the world of work. I worked on Wall Street for a while. I worked in showbiz for a long time. I did social work and on. You can read my checkered past by going to my website, KarenCataline.com. Well, when I came back, I went on an odyssey to explore God again as an adult. Now, obviously, I'd never forgotten about it, but I just wanted to explore certainly my own religion because I was always one of those rebels. And in Hebrew school, I was always asking questions that teachers would run the other way when I would ask them. And then I'd chase them and say, yes, but teacher, what about this? And they didn't want to give more than a pat, platitudinous answer. And so, you know, I kind of left it for a while, because I think we should question everything. Luckily, I found out that questioning everything and analyzing everything was very Jewish. It's what I do. Anyway, to make a long story short, because I only have 2.5 minutes probably to complete this story, I started going to every synagogue and going to everywhere I could in my hometown. And that led me to the humanistic Jews. Humanistic Jews, they're basically atheistic Jews that love the gastronomical part. I only have 90 seconds. I may have to finish this when I come back. But they love the corned beef sandwiches and the matzo ball soup and the traditions, but they pretty much believe their God and their own universe. So I sat there and they said the prayer, probably the cornerstone prayer in the entire Jewish liturgy. And that's saying something, because Jewish liturgy or Jewish philosophy and religious books are enormous. They're just enormous. It's a very, very rich heritage. And the Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, is the most important prayer in all of Judaism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. It is a professing of monotheism. There is only one God, not 12, not 14, not idols, just one. Don't be God. Don't make anything God. And they took God out of the Shema prayer. They took God out of the prayer that was about Shema, about God, right? So I finally found out there was a line over which I would not cross. Very valuable. I'll tell you, that was pretty much the story. We got to take a break. Karen Cataline, this is Spouting Off, and I'm delighted you're with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Well, Welcome back to Spouting Off. I am delighted and honored to be with you, Karen Cataline, your host and producer. Thanks to Doug and to all the people that helped me produce Spouting Off. Also, by the way, I want to say hello and many thanks to two networks. One is K-Star Radio Network that is kind enough to not only carry our show live, but to repeat it on Saturdays at 9 and Sundays at noon. You are welcome to listen to us live on Fridays at noon, Mountain, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we love phone calls as well. I have guests, but I love phone calls. The number, if you'd like to get in on the program, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'm doing this by memory. Can you believe it? I've only been doing this show for almost 3 years, and I usually have to look. So this time I decided to do it and remember it. So here's what I wanted to just finish. I wanted to finish up on what I was saying, which was that I went up to the host of the Humanistic Jews, and I said, you know, I really want to thank you. And he was excited, and he thought I was going to join the Humanistic Jews. And I said, you know, I really, you were more helpful than a lot of places that I've already been, because you helped me see a line over which I'm not willing to cross. I'm not willing to take God out of the Shema prayer, which is all about the proclamation and recognition that there is a God and he is one. And I didn't say all of that, but, you know, I left him thinking that I was very impressed, which I was. I was impressed. Sometimes you got to go to the extremes before you realize, you know, where you are, where you stand. I wish the left would do that, but they don't tend to. So that was the end of that story. I wanted to share something else, too. If you'd like to join me on Facebook, both on my personal page, all you got to do is go to Karen Cataline. Look for Karen Cataline on my Facebook page. I have a personal page and a professional page. And as far as I'm concerned, everything on Facebook is public. Anything I post is public because there is an illusion that something is private on Facebook. I don't think so. But I'm a little more particular on people that I accept on Facebook. If I don't know you, please let me know that you heard me on Spouting Off, and I will immediately accept your invitation. Otherwise, follow me on my professional Facebook page. I try as best I can to post the stuff I write and the professional things that I do, or just go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and oh dear, have at it. So I learn the most fascinating things from the callers on talk radio and from posters on Facebook. Today, I learned that a sheriff, a local sheriff here in Colorado, is responsible for, quote, not preventing the coronavirus outbreak at his jail because inmates are suing him and with the help of the ACLU. Now, this is fascinating because nobody, including the ACLU, is going to the trouble to sue Andrew Cuomo, Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has the highest rate of coronavirus infections and deaths in the country by far, because he has not done enough to prevent. Now, we could point to all kinds of things about ventilators and you name it, but the selectivity of outrage of the left is extraordinary. And what they say about Andrew Cuomo is not only is he doing the best he can, but he's great. He's better than Biden. Let's try to draft him to be president. But this sheriff in Colorado, they have to go after. And why do they have to go after him? I'll tell you why. Because he was the most outspoken sheriff when Colorado fell. And I say that advisedly, fell to the notion that red flag bills were not unconstitutional. And we had at the time one of the most, and our lefty governor passed red flag laws that basically made it possible for police to knock on your door and confiscate your guns without any due process at all. I've said then, and I will say now, that it has been a scheme to desensitize people from the whole notion that police and government and law enforcement can go door to door and try to find out who has guns based on anonymous tips. I mean, this is Soviet Union stuff. This is Gulag stuff. I mean, only criminals want to disarm the law-abiding. And I will continue to say that until somebody hears me. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll keep control. Okay, but anyway, so I had this discussion with a Facebook poster, and I said, how do you justify such selective outrage? You don't. What I love is when you ask those tough questions to a lefty, and I didn't know I had any lefty friends left or any lefty followers left, and I see them as individuals. I think the leftist ideology is being directed from a much higher level, but those that fall prey and are gullible enough to believe the consistent lies of the left, I see it as part of my role and responsibility to put a fire under these people and try to help them see what hypocrisy, and we need a new word, that we see from them. And we see some of that from Republicans as well, who abandon their principles when at just the time when they ought to be standing up for them. I have to leave it there because we have a special guest before our primary guest after the bottom of the hour, somebody that I know and have supported for a long time, and he wants to come on the air and talk about an event that I am pleased to participate in. I'll be giving a speech about a 15-minute speech on the freedom of the press. I'm glad that Casper Stockham invited me to do that. And welcome to Spouting Off once again, Casper Stockham.
Hey, Karen, it's good to be with you. And, yes, we're excited about the Reagan Day event that yourself and a lot of other great speakers are going to be participating in. It's going to happen tomorrow morning. So the virtual doors open at 9:30, and then we have
the virtual doors. I love it.
The virtual
doors. Yes.
And then we start at 10. We have got music. We've got some videos from Ronald Reagan himself. Of course, we got great speakers. It's really just going to be a fun time to really focus in on American freedom, which, as you know, is in jeopardy right now.
Boy, is it ever. And so we're going to have a virtual Reagan festival. Tell people how they can participate, because we hope, we think we have listeners all around the country, and you don't have to be in Colorado, or you don't have to be, anyone and everyone can participate. So tell them slowly how they can participate.
Yes, so we have room for everyone. Every one of your listeners, it doesn't matter if they're in Colorado or not, can plug into this event tomorrow morning. So one way is to go to my website. It's Casper4Colorado.com. That's Forcolorado.com. And just click on events. So we're going to be streaming the event Saturday from that website. Also, they can go to Facebook and type in Casper for Colorado, and they will be able to see it live on Facebook as well.
And that's C-A-S-P, as in Peter, E-R, F-O-R, Colorado. Casper for Colorado. Now, ironically, when K-Star Radio Network rebroadcasts this show, it's at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. So right after my show, they can go ahead and tune in to the Reagan, what's it called again? The Reagan?
It's a Reagan Day event.
Reagan Day event, celebrating freedom.
Exactly, celebrating American freedom. And it's really going to be also a good event for homeschoolers. So this is a good time to sit your children in front of the TV or however they plug into the Internet and watch this event as a homeschooling activity, because they're going to learn freedom of the press from you, and they're going to learn about American freedom. They're going to learn about the Constitution.
Yeah.
They're going to learn about politics. It's just going to be a smorgasbord of American freedom items.
Well, I'm honored that you asked me to participate. I'm looking forward to it. Before I let you go, I want you, and this isn't necessarily affecting everybody outside of Colorado, but As you know, they say all politics is local and you can support candidates. You know, I've been known to support a candidate that's out of my district and even out of my state. So tell us about your campaign for Congress and why you're running, what are you standing for, and what do we need to know about your campaign?
Absolutely. So I got the nomination last night to run in CD 7. I was unopposed, so I'll be going all the way to the general election. I'm a grassroots Tea Party, American Freedom, American Constitution kind of candidate. I think a lot of the overreach that we're seeing right now is something we need to push back against, because at the end of the day, if we lose our economy, we lose everything.
And if we lose our liberty, if we lose our liberty, we lose everything too.
Well, yeah. Well, we've already lost our liberty. We got to get that back.
And once you lose it, it's hard to get back. So why are you running for Congress at this point?
I'm running for Congress because my opponent, who's a Democrat, is signing on to all this foolishness that's going on in the swamp in D.C. right now. He's signing off on all the pork that's been put into the stimulus package that's supposed to be coming out to the average American to help us, but unfortunately all it's doing is going back to the special interest groups, but we've been fighting all along anyway. So very little of that money is trickling down to the small businesses that we have to protect. We have to make sure those small businesses survive. So
absolutely. And your voice, and I will say, not that we're into identity politics here, but your voice as a Black Republican needs to be heard, because we're constantly being smeared with this broad brush notion that Republicans are racist, which, by the way, I think is preposterous on its face, since it wasn't conservatives or Republicans that extolled the virtues of Margaret Sanger and eugenics. But that's beside the point. I've got about a minute.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, it is. It is. And so we need to support your candidacy. One more time and tell everybody how they can participate in this event tomorrow, Saturday, April 11th at 10 a.m. virtually. Everybody's welcome. Just tell everybody how they can participate.
Yeah, so they can support me by going to the exact same link. So Casper4ForColorado.com. Click on events to watch the event tomorrow morning, but also they can go to that same website and click on donate. And just donate $17.75 for freedom.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Casper Stockham, for joining us, and I'll look forward to participating in that event tomorrow. And we have to take a break. When we come back, we have a wonderful guest that I've known personally for a long time, and I'll tell you more about him after this. Karen Kettleen, your host of Spouting Off. Please stay with us. We have a lot more to come. This is Karen Kettleen. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And welcome back. Happy to be with you. Boy, time goes so fast on talk radio and you're having fun. And I've been looking forward to this guest for, well, ever since I booked him. He's a personal friend, but he's also really quite distinguished and very accomplished. I'm happy to have with us attorney, California, former California State Assemblyman, and chairman of Recall Gray Davis Committee, co-founder and chairman of Tea Party Express. You remember that huge bus that was going around 2009. He was intricately involved in that. Plus, he works for my favorite liberty-minded college, Hillsdale College, and he now lives in Live Free or Die Country, New Hampshire. Welcome, Howard Kaloogian, to Spouting
Thank
Off.
You very much, Karen. Very good to be with you. Wow, what a kind introduction.
Well, you know, I've known you for a long time, and you've put up with me all these years. So,
and happy Passover to you.
Oh, thank you, and happy Easter to you. Have you ever in your life, you know, because I know that you guys know about Passover.
Yep.
You know, that last Passover supper and all of that. Have you ever in your life seen a greater reason to celebrate freedom on Passover for Jews and everyone else than this year?
It's an amazing time. It really is. I mean, this is, we kind of understand more about the plagues that Egypt went through during the first Passover.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, except that what we need is our deliverer. I hate to call it that, but it was, you know, to say, let my people go out of California, out of Colorado, out of West Virginia. Let them out of their homes and stop being slaves.
That's right. I'm happy that I escaped California about 5 years ago. My wife and I moved to New Hampshire, where it is a live free or die state. But, you know, what we're experiencing in the nation is not so much a plague, other than a plague of fear. I mean, after all, it's a different country than it used to be. Back after Pearl Harbor, when bombs and bullets fell on our naval station in Pearl Harbor and killed about 3,000 Americans, the president came on to the airways and FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's one of the most famous phrases a president has ever uttered. And it was a lie. It really wasn't true. They actually had bombs falling on their heads. They had bullets strafing their bodies. And they actually had bombs and bullets to fear, but he said, don't mind that. Don't be afraid. And today we have this plague of the coronavirus, and people are scared. It seems the fear has gripped the nation, and I don't see the reason for it. I really don't.
Go ahead.
No. Well, go ahead.
Howard, what I'm seeing is the leftist politicians that have proven, shown us, and admitted in many cases their dedication to socialism and authoritarianism have ramped up the fear to a ridiculous degree, even when the facts on the ground ratchet down the deaths and the misery. They want to ratchet up the misery. And it's obvious, unfortunately, it's taking 6 weeks or more for people to see the ugly, diabolical pattern that they're engaged in.
That's right. Every solution to the left is more government, more taxes, taking more of your value of your assets and your income, and causing there to be more centralized government so that they treat the rural counties in Colorado the same as downtown Manhattan. And that's not right. That's not right. We're different parts of the country. That's what federalism is all about. You should allow the local area to control how they want to be governed, because there is nothing alike between the subway system and the dense population of Manhattan and the rural counties in outside of Denver and throughout Colorado that would require the same kind of laws and regulations. So, you know, their projection, that's amazing to me, Karen. The experts are almost always wrong in their modeling. When a hurricane is coming, you don't deny the fact that there's a hurricane, but you've got 20 different models as to where it might go. One hurricane has it coming from the Atlantic going into the central part of Florida. Another has it going around the tip of Florida into the Gulf Coast and hitting Houston. Another model has it coming up the East Coast and hitting New Jersey. Another model has it turning around and going back out towards Africa. And so what model do you follow? Well, you know, they've modeled this this coronavirus pandemic, and the reason we shut the country down was because of the models. And they initially told us that there were going to be 2 million Americans who were going to die. Mm-hmm. And there were going to be 500,000 Brits in England who were going to die. And that we couldn't abide. And so we shut the country down. And then they said, oh, wait a minute, our modeling wasn't exactly right. Instead of 500,000 in England, it's only going to be 20,000. And instead of 2 million in America, it's only going to be 100,000 to 240,000. And then they said, because we responded to it, it won't even be that. In America, it might be 60,000. Well, the seasonal flu kills between 40 and 60,000 Americans every year, and we don't shut the country down for that.
That's right.
You know, I understand the argument. It's lives versus money. I get that.
No,
and that
I don't
argument,
think that is the
wait a minute,
argument.
Wait a minute. That's the way the left is setting it up. In
yes.
that argument, money loses. You have to side with lives. However, it's not lives versus money. It's lives versus lives. The question is, how do we save the lives? And if we have a cure, which hydrochloroquine, however you say that, the anti-malaria drugs, they seem to work no matter what. They seem to work. France is now issuing to everybody who gets COVID-19 the anti-malaria drugs, and they've got clinical trials over there.
It
works.
The left
yes,
hates
and they're upset.
That there's a
that's
drug
right.
they don't like it.
Yes, that's
oh,
right.
Howard, it's like, oh no, more good news. I'm going to be depressed. I need Xanax. I want to add what you're saying. If you superimpose what you, a little while back, you said something about how rural America and city America and the big cities, they're different, and yet they're imposing the same rules on everyone, even within states, cities and counties that have absolutely no deaths from coronavirus still have to stay home. Well, let's remember these are the same people who have been engaged in a war on rural America for a very long time.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's
right.
What people forget is that just because we have this extraordinary and unprecedented virus, which I'm not so sure it is because we've had SARS, we've had MERS, we didn't shut the country down for them. You still have the same people in authority in certain places, like the governor of Colorado, who continues to stick it to the same people that he's hated all along. In a piece that I wrote this week that I've been touting here, tyranny is the deadliest virus. In Colorado, he decided that pot shops and public transportation were essential. And driving in your own personal vehicle alone and Hobby Lobby were not essential and therefore must be shut down by force. It needs
you
to
know,
be said that the left hates the last two and has always loved the first two, right?
You have to have help being that stupid. You really do. I mean, a person cannot get that stupid on their own. To have these two thoughts in your head at the same time, that you should be socially distancing from each other, but we're going to force you into a mass transit situation instead of into your individual vehicle. I mean, you can't be that stupid without help, you know?
It's
just amazing how people just don't get it. The medical oath is first, do no harm. How many people are being harmed with the shutdown? I mean,
massive,
it's just crazy.
Massive
amounts of harm.
On millions. And it's the same people. They're being quiet about it. But do you think they've abandoned their philosophy of open borders and not
no.
vetting people? They're taking people's temperatures to get gasoline in this country. But if you have typhoid and you're from another country and you want to come here in order to have government education and government health care, come on in.
Hey, come on in. It's your right to come here with your diseases from the third world. You know, we now have tuberculosis returning in America because of the people that cross the southern border without being screened. Now, I don't know where they're coming from in terms of what country. It could be China. There are people from the Middle East who cross that southern border. It is not a racist statement to say people who come into our country without being screened are bringing diseases from the third world, because it is a fact. But the problem is that nobody seems to connect all of the dots that this is from China. I mean, we had no trouble calling the Hong Kong flu a Hong Kong flu. MERS, you know, MERS says Middle East is what the ME stands for in MERS. The Spanish flu, of course, nobody accused that of being a bigotry statement. This is a Chinese flu. Now, let me just postulate something here to you, Karen.
Postulate
away. So, you know, China was losing its war with President Trump. The economic sanctions and the tariffs and the war that President Trump has been waging against China economically was taking its toll. And China watched as Russia didn't hurt Trump, and the Mueller report didn't hurt Trump, and the Democrats' impeachment didn't hurt Trump. The relentless negative media spin hasn't hurt Trump. And the economy made it so that Trump was going to win re-election. He touted it at every rally. And by the economy, I mean specifically employment and the stock market. He would say, look at your IRA, look at your 401k. It's amazing. You're just a genius of an investor now, aren't you?
Yeah.
At every rally, he would say that. And the
right.
Chinese could not afford this last year and four more years of Trump. So they didn't want to go the way of the Soviet communists after Reagan's economic war against the Soviet Union. So they perhaps decided to impact the West's economy and America's in particular. And so employment rates and the stock market have been hurt dramatically by this. They're trying to remove that advantage. Could it be that the Chinese knew of the World Health Organization's protocols and the CDC protocols to shelter in place and shut things down against a contagious pandemic? And so maybe this was launched in order to accomplish that. And we may be playing directly into their hands for no good reason other than the Democrats hate Trump and want to defeat him.
Well put, Howard. We have about 30 seconds before break. Can you stay with us for break? And we're going to talk about really the reason I invited you on. I invited you on for all kinds of things to talk about election fraud in California and what we're going to do about it. Can you stay tuned? Can
sure,
you stay with us?
Of course. Love
Thank
to.
You. I just wanted to say in comment is that if the left didn't have a double standard, they wouldn't have standards at all. We got to take a break right now. We're talking to the wonderful and very, very astute Howard Kaloogian, attorney extraordinaire, and so much more. Stay tuned. Karen Cataline, your host here on Spouting Off. We'll have a whole lot more when we get back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Talking to Howard Kaloogian, and I've known him Wow, I've known him a long time, but he has quite the resume. He works for Hillsdale College, and I've been a longtime supporter of Hillsdale College. And if you want to talk to him about leaving something to Hillsdale, either in your will or even beforehand, Howard's the guy to do that. And we'll let him tell you how you can reach him, because Hillsdale College, you know, we only wish that Hillsdale could clone itself everywhere in the country. Howard is an attorney, a former Colorado State Assemblyman, and worked on the Recall Gray Davis Committee, which was successful. We love when those recalls are successful. Chairman and founder of the Tea Party Express and a whole lot more. Thanks for staying with us, Howard Kaloogian.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Karen. I enjoy being on the air with you. You're a great host, and you have a great newsletter that you publish, and everybody should subscribe to your podcast. No question.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, you can go to KarenKataline.com, and you can get my latest meanderings. We want to talk about your spearheading. You have this wonderful talent for picking out issues that are absolutely critical to the next election. And it's no secret that the left is trying to use this virus to advance their agenda. Many people have even admitted it, including their hope to nationalize mail-in ballots on the basis of this virus that, of course, they're keeping everyone home. Mail-in ballots are just fraught with fraud and ballot harvesting. Tell us about this project you're working on right now.
Well, no question about it. You know, if a ballot is to be mailed in, there's not necessarily any chain of control to make sure that was the person who mailed the ballot in. I mean, we all know about identity theft, and we all hear the LifeLock type commercials, and maybe we should turn our electioneering over to LifeLock, because, you know, they would make sure that the actual person who is casting the ballot is the real registered voter. But in California, for instance, where the Democrats rule as a one-party state, they have now registered more than a million people than live in the counties throughout
wow.
13 counties. Now, wait a minute. There are 58 counties in California, and the Election Integrity Project has done a review of 13 counties. They've not had the time or the money to go and review all 58. They've only looked at 13 counties. And what they found is that there are more than a million people registered to vote, more than eligible citizens in those counties. Now, what does that mean? That means that especially if a local election is on the ballot and might be decided by a couple hundred to a couple thousand people. I mean, my goodness, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got elected with a total of 15,000 votes in her primary. Well, imagine if you've got a million extra votes that you can cast without having a person there to cast it. How do you go about stuffing that ballot box with those ineligible ballots? Well, you do it through things like voter harvesting or ballot harvesting and mail-in ballots and absentee ballots and extended ballot hours to the point where you can vote for 30 days before the election and up to 2 weeks after the election. That's the kind of thing they're doing.
That's
in California.
Insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. I had a caller once not long ago tell me that she lives in California, and she said, you know, the biggest lie in the world is that California is all liberals, voters. The fact of the matter is California is much more conservative than people think, but they've taken over our election system. And I can say from personal knowledge that because Coloradans are getting Californians, not only the people, but the ideas, and the left wants to turn us into California, they've started ballot harvesting here, where they find ballots in trunks, and they always benefit the left, never the other way around. And they
correct.
go into nursing homes and Alzheimer's units, and they have names of people that are dead, and they deliver thousands of ballots, always at the last minute, when the conservative is winning.
Yes,
this is outrageous.
They know how to do this. They've studied this, and they're activists this way. And this is what community organizing has become for the left. They actually train people in how to go and acquire the ballots of people who have not yet voted and, quote, help them to vote. Mm-hmm. And so they make sure that the vote is their way, or they don't bring that ballot in even if they've collected it. And so they're not workers for the county registrar. They're not workers for the government in any way. They're not part of the balloting process. They are simply partisan activists. And yet they are capturing ballots and delivering them. So there's no chain of custody. You know, if you go to a criminal court and you say, well, gee, here's the evidence, but of course, we didn't collect the evidence from the scene and keep it within our possession the whole time. We gave it to a third party. We let them look it over and figure it out, and then they gave us what portions of the evidence they wanted us to have in the trial. Would you have any confidence in the results of that trial? Of course not. And that is how we are controlling the biggest and most important trial this nation has, and it's called elections. We're letting third parties who have a partisan biased interest in the outcome gather those ballots and hang on to them and process them and deliver the ones that they want delivered. That's why the left always wins those election results.
Right.
They're going to count until they win.
That's right.
You know, this is a Stalinist tactic. It doesn't matter who actually votes. Who matters is who counts the ballots. And what they've done is they've become more sophisticated. Just as the, what was that guy's name that Hillary did her paper on? You know, the leftist guru.
Saul Alinsky.
Yeah, Saul Alinsky. Yeah. The name escaped me for a moment. He learned from the mafia how to shake down businesses, but then he ratcheted it up one level higher, and he did better than the mafia because he went into government in order to utilize the power of the government to shake people down. In the same way, the Democrats have learned better than Stalin. They figured out how to stuff the ballot box better than Stalin could count the ballots. What they do is they use their ability to go into the populace in order to control what ballots get in the box.
Right. Howard, with our limited amount of time here, let's talk about what you're doing about this, because that's where we always fall short as conservatives. We see the problem and then we don't fight back with the fierceness of a Donald Trump. We don't even have a plan sometimes to fight back. And boy, do we need that, not only in California, but in Colorado and elsewhere. What's the way to fight this right now? Is that all the time I have left? 1 minute? Where'd the time go?
Well, let's solve the world's problems in 1 minute.
You know what? I need to go on a little longer because this is important. We set up the problem. How do we fight against this?
Well, what we do need to do is bring to the ballot box every one of our votes by recognizing how important this next election cycle is. But beyond that, we have to clamp down on the registrations that are invalid. And we have to go through and clean up those registrations. And we have to engage attorneys to do that. And it's going to be a very expensive process. And it's going to be something, though, that we must do if we're going to win this next election cycle. And there's a detailed plan as to how to do it, but we can't get into all the details in 60 seconds.
Where do people go? Where do people go to learn more and to help you out? Because I want to have you on one of the other shows that I do so that we can detail this and have you on again. I know a couple of folks in Colorado radio that would love to talk to you.
You have to go to the Election Integrity Project. Election Integrity Project. Those folks are doing a great job of exposing the problem and helping to clean up the ballots.
You know, with that, if you give your money to anybody, let's make sure, because I believe that Donald Trump, even now, would win in a landslide if it was even a remotely fair election. But we've already seen these Democrats, these leftists, will do anything to grab power, including lying, cheating, and stealing. So we have to secure elections. Thank you so much for joining us. I wish we had more time. I'll have
thank
you on
you for
again.
Having me, Karen. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, I'll have you on again, and I'll make sure that you get on to a few of the other programs that I know about as well. This is an important issue, and you speak to it so well. Thank you so much. Well, that is about all the time that we have for this edition. I wish I had about three more hours. Please tune into my website or go to my website, and you'll hear more. You'll see more, KarenCataline.com. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday, when there will be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.